We've really enjoyed having Dale. Last couple of years, it's been really a joy to see him going on with the Lord and really following Jesus with all of his heart. And he's heading off to Bible college. And so I asked him to come and kind of share his heart, what he's doing, where he's going. I know maybe some people know, some people don't know, but I thought it'd be really good for us to hear what God is doing in his life, and then we can pray for him and say goodbye for at least for a short while. Thankfully, he's not going too far. So come on up, Dale.
As Steve had said, it is kind of a bittersweet day. I remember coming into the church, it must have been about 13 years ago. Some of you that don't know me, I came out of a lifestyle of drugs, alcohol, in and out of jail most of my life. And over those years, the Lord had changed me. I walked away from the church for a short time, and he was faithful and brought me back because you guys prayed. I'm here, I'm standing here because someone prayed, and he's faithful. I know 2 years, 2.5 years ago when the Lord asked me to leave my job, I wasn't even walking, I wasn't even living right when he began to speak to me about leaving my job. He spoke it for a year to me, and I thought it was nuts. I still do. But as I did, and some of you know, I was in an automobile accident April, about 2.5 years ago. And that was kind of the turning point in my life where I knew as I was laying in that ditch, I just surrendered everything that day. I knew it needed to be changed, and I wanted something different. I was done running. Because my main reason from running is what God was calling me to do. I was scared. I was scared to go to Bible college. And obviously he started many years ago because he knew I was a slow learner. So it took, and his plan is perfect and his timing is perfect. I don't believe I missed out on anything. That's why he started early. Like I said, I'm a slow learner. And as I came back, he began to speak to me about Bible college. But even when I was away, it came stronger when I was away than it did when I came back. And I couldn't, there was nothing I could do to get it out of my mind. So as I began to look at schools, and he led me to Bethany. And as most of you know, we prayed through numerous situations to get into school. And one of them was that I was ready to start. A year ago, I wanted to, and then they told me they needed my high school transcripts. And I thought, man, I'd heard that word before, but I'm not for sure what they are. I had quit school my senior year. So I went back, and I didn't know how it was all going to work out. And I was actually at youth group one night, and there was I just felt this urge to go to Hy-Vee. And I'm like, what? Miss prayer? Go to IV? This is weird. So I did. And there was a guy that I used to work with. He was I was his boss when I worked for Relco. And as he was walking out, I was walking in, and I was like, man, Ray, I says, I haven't seen you in 2 years. I said, what have you been up to? I just finished my GED. It was the same day that Bethany let me know that I needed to do my GED. And so I was like, all right, Lord, I'm listening. So he gave me all the information I needed, and he said, they're going to change it the first of the year, so you better get it done. And he said the word, it's going to get harder. And I didn't like that word. So I continued to work, and I thought, well, man, when this season gets slow, I'll get laid off, and I'll start my GED. Where a season didn't get slow, it got busier. And I was like, Lord, I need to get this done because, you know, I'm not very smart with this stuff. and I thought I was going to need some more time. And next thing you know, it was a Monday morning. I come to work, and Bob says, "Yeah, you can. You might as well just sign up for unemployment." I was like, "Phew." So I went in and I started taking some pre-tests, and the lady said, I just want you to do your tests." And I'm like, "No way. There's no way I can just test. I need to be tutored." And so I began taking the test. I took the first three, and the ones I knew I was going to have trouble with was a math and the writing and sentence structure. And, well, needless to say, I got there to take my last test that I was supposed to take on Monday that I missed my test date. I was up for dinner with my pastor. But I passed them all. And it was one of the first times I'd really seen His grace that was just so apparent as I took these tests, because it was just, I don't think I could have screwed it up. So as that went on, I got my, it was right before Christmas, I think it was on a Friday, I got my transcripts, so well, now everything was kind of in order, and so we continued with my, I think I went through five counselors at Bethany, so I don't know if it's their problem or if it's me. But I start tomorrow. But I know what transpired in my life 2 years ago after I left my job was a baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that's what has given me the power to live out His will for my life. And a power and victory over sin in my life. There's freedom. There was freedom that came. And I know I was in all kinds of bondage in my life. And I know I'm free here. I'm free in my heart. And so I just encourage this gospel, this Jesus, isn't just for me. It's for all of us. Every one of us. His love is for all of us. And I just encourage everyone just to go on and, man, remember me. It's a new chapter in my life. I was thinking, before I come up, I thought, Lord, I'm really thankful that You didn't write the end 2.5 years ago while I was laying in that ditch. And it's exciting, but I know it's something that the Lord has done in my life, and I need to do it. I need to be obedient to what He's asked me to do. And I didn't think it was going to be, you know, it was pretty easy a year ago, but as the time got scrunched and I started looking at finances and just different things, and everything I planned for this whole summer went to the wayside. And so as the other day I was adding, I didn't know how everything was going to work out, and because Bethany wanted this lump chunk of money, and I was like, what? There's no way this is going to work. And it wasn't going to pencil out. So it ended up that there was another grant that there was one left, so they dropped my tuition $3,000 more. So I was really thankful. And then so then we set up a different style of payment. And so I was like, well, Lord, this is all I got. So I added up this amount, and it was exactly what I needed for my first payment. Exactly. And I'm like, all right. So I made the payment, and now we just continue to go on. And the first step is done, and I suppose the second step is I suppose I better go. A really good friend of mine from Wisconsin, he asked me, he called me, it was the Monday after camp. And he says, "You're not going to run again, are you?" I says, "No." I said, I run in a different way, but I said those running shoes are done. So I didn't want to go in the belly of the whale again. So I'm going to miss you guys. I know it's not far, it's only the cities, but I've really grown to love the church and the people in it. You're my family. I don't have nowhere else. I just ask him for prayer and a lot of grace. I need it. So I just want to tell you I love each and every one of you. And I'm thankful that the Lord added me to this church. And thankful he saved me. And he brought my mom into the church. And I ask that you'd help take care of her while I'm gone.
Well, I haven't got loads of time left. And so I'm going to keep it fairly short this morning. But really fits in with the theme that the Lord laid in my heart was the gospel of grace. And the songs and the prayers that we've been praying and singing and the story of Dale's life is really remarkable. When we think about the gospel of grace, when me and Manjit first came here about 20 years ago, I remember Sue asking for prayer for her neighbor. I had no idea who he was or what he was like. I just knew he was really, really evil and into a lot of bad stuff, you know. Week by week, Sue would look, guys, can we keep praying for my neighbor? And Dale was just telling me the other day, he's like, that was me. Oh, okay, great. So we've been praying for Dale for years, and we'll keep praying. And praise God that God loves to save people. Isn't that wonderful? Good people, and really, really bad people. And I remember when Dale first came about 13 years ago, and it was just such a joy to see the Lord move in his life. And the Christian walk, it's not a sprint, is it? It's a marathon. And in one sense, it doesn't matter how we begin. It really matters how we end. That's really the key. And I believe that God has called Dale on. I'm excited. And I know that we will we'll see lots of him, I'm sure. Although there is a good reason for him to stay up in the cities apart from college, but we won't talk about that this morning. But we're hoping he's going to come back regularly and give us lots of updates. I know that he is in need of financial support. I believe the church is going to be supporting him monthly. So if you want to add to that, if you feel the Lord's laying on your heart to support him, talk to Kevin. I know that there are a number of people who are going to be supporting him. So if you want to add your name to that list, it would be really good, wouldn't it, to see the Lord provide for all of his needs so he isn't having to do school and do a bunch of extra jobs and try and fit everything around. It'd be really nice to see the Lord provide for his needs. So if you would pray about that and talk to Kevin if you feel that's something that you'd like to do. I'm going to be sharing this morning from 1 Corinthians 15. So let's turn there. I'll read it. I promise I'll be brief. I don't want anybody to get too hungry. Let's read in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 10. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 10. Now, I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Let's jump down to verse 10. But By the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You for the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. And we're not ashamed of it, Lord. We're not ashamed to declare this morning that we don't trust in our own works. Lord, we don't trust in religion and memorizing verses. We don't trust in what we know. But Lord, we trust in the living God. We trust in the grace that called us from sin and from darkness. We trust in the grace that keeps us. And we trust, Lord, in the grace that will bring us safely home. Amen. Father, we ask You, Lord, to just come in this short time, Lord, and really speak to our hearts through Your word this morning. We love Your word, Lord. We love it, Lord. We pray that You'd speak to us. Again, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, just a couple of things that I just want to share. There's a lot in here. There's whole books written on these passages, but we're just going to quickly pull out a couple of things. And, you know, Paul is writing to Corinthians, and he starts off, he says, "Now I make known to you." And there's kind of a sense there where it's surprising. He's saying, "I'm having to make known to you again the gospel which I preached to you, because the Corinthian church had begun to depart from the gospel of grace." And so he's reiterating the things that we all know, the things that we've heard many times, the things that many of us believe. And he says, first of all, and it's good tidings. That's what the gospel means. It means it's good news. And it is really, really, really good news, isn't it? That dead people could be made alive. That sinners, saints. That people destined for hell could have a new destiny and a new destination and find that heaven is now their home. It is really, really good news. And he says, "I preach this to you." And we know in Romans chapter 10, it says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Preaching, incredibly important, isn't it? Whether we preach with our lives, with our lips, when we're sharing with our friends and neighbors and people we work with. Preaching includes all of those things, doesn't it? It also includes what I'm doing right now, that I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, which also you received. And the first thing is that we have to receive the gospel. It has to be something that we take to ourselves. And it says, "in which you stand." And we don't just have to only receive the gospel, but we must stand in the gospel. We're in days, aren't we, when the gospel is being attacked, when our nation is fast departing from the godly principles upon which it was founded. And Paul's saying here, stand fast in the gospel. Stand fast in what you've received. Stand fast in what you've heard. Because there's going to be all kinds of things that come against us. I was thinking as I was preparing, you know, the incredible pressure that we face as God's people a lot of times. There are young people who have grown up in a world where things that are going on are considered quite normal. When we were growing up, just talking to Manjit about this, when we were growing up, we didn't have to my parents didn't have to discuss with me why a man and a woman should be a normal kind of marriage. Am I having to teach my 11-year-old son what marriage is? We're living in a country where we're having riots and people being killed, school shootings, all kinds of things that are going on. We're living in a nation that is fast departing from the gospel. And Paul's saying to us, brothers and sisters, stand fast in the gospel. Let's stand fast in this grace that God has given us. That we're not saved by religion. We're not saved by doing good, but we're saved by the blood of Jesus. Salvation is a gift from beginning to end. As it says in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, says, doesn't it, you've been called with a holy calling before the world began. Grace that was in Christ Jesus. That God has called us to live out this gospel through our holy lives. To stand fast. Verse 2, by which you are being saved. And Tom did a great job of talking about that a couple of weeks ago, so I'm not going to go over that again. But we've been saved, we're being saved, and we will be saved. Right? On that great day when we see Him, we're going to be like Him. You know, if we had time, we could read through the rest of chapter 15. It talks about putting off corruption and putting on incorruptibility. That these earthly bodies, these jars of clay, there will be no more. When we see Him, we'll be like Him. We'll have our resurrection body and we'll realize, oh, this is what we were made for. And salvation is fully realized. And then there's a little phrase here. If you hold fast the word that I preach to you. I just want to talk a little bit about holding fast. In Hebrews, we don't have time to go to them, but there are four places where we're told to hold fast. We're told to hold fast our confidence, hold fast our assurance, hold fast our confession, and hold fast our hope without wavering. And that means bending. And I want to encourage you that we have to hold fast this gospel of grace without wavering, without bending. This is our confidence. This is our assurance. This is our hope that we're trusting in the finished work of the cross. We're trusting in the blood of Jesus. We're trusting that God has chosen us and called us with a holy calling. And that we have purpose and destiny in this life. We're sojourners and pilgrims, that our home is heaven. And we're going to be with Him forever and ever and ever. You know, parting is painful, isn't it? We all face different kinds of separations. But we know that one day there will be no more tears. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more sighing. We'll be together forever worshiping Jesus. This is our hope. This is not our home. We were made for eternity. We were made for heaven. And Paul says, doesn't he? He reiterates three things in verse 3 and 4. He said, we know this, that Christ died for our sins. Isn't that wonderful? Christ died for our sins. There's nothing we've done. There's no sin that's too big. There's no sin that's too small. Christ died for our sins, that we are forgiven. We're a forgiven people. That God has made a way through His Son that we could know what it is to be forgiven. Hallelujah. Right? No skeletons in the closet. We have to worry about being discovered. We know that we've made terrible mistakes and done awful things, but we're forgiven. Hallelujah, that God has made a way. We don't have to go through religious ceremonies and rites, but God has cleansed us from all of our sin. So many scriptures we could go to, but we know that Jesus is a propitiation. The sacrifice lamb, the one who all the sacrifices in the old covenant pointed to. He's our covenant. He's our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer. We've been purchased with blood. We're forgiven. And then secondly, that Jesus Christ was buried. And we know that that terrible moment on the cross, when it was dark, those hours from noon till 3, we could read Isaiah 53. I was thinking of going there, but we don't have time. But if you get a chance to read it through, but it says, doesn't it, that He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And upon Him were laid our transgressions. And in those 3 hours, as the Father darkened the sky, and Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Father poured out His wrath on His perfect, spotless Son. We can't imagine what that cost the Godhead in that moment. But Jesus was atoning for our sins, redeeming us, making a way for us, bringing us to God. He says He was buried, and we know that in Acts chapter 2, Peter says this when he was preaching. as the Holy Spirit was poured out upon him, he said it was impossible for death to hold him. You know, some people believe there was a great battle and it was a real fight, but I don't believe that. I believe that Jesus rose again. Amen. It was impossible for death to hold him. It says in Romans chapter 1, he was raised up according to the Spirit of holiness and the power of God. God raised him up from the dead, and we know that now he's seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews 7 teaches us that he's interceding for us, even at this very moment, that Jesus is praying for his people. Incredible stuff, isn't it? That he died for our sins, he was buried, and he was raised again. That Jesus raised up from the dead. Death couldn't hold him. Hell couldn't hold him. Colossians chapter 2, it says that all of the powers of darkness couldn't hold him. And he was raised up and made a public spectacle of all the powers of darkness. It's incredible. Hallelujah. Jesus rose again. Hallelujah. That very same risen life, Paul says in Ephesians, is working in us. So if we're facing problems, if we're facing difficulties, we know that that very same power that raised Jesus from the dead has been put within us by the Holy Spirit. And as we obey him, as we surrender to him, as we live out the life that God's called us to live out, that same power is working within us. And it's all by grace. It's nothing we can do to earn it. We just have to receive it as a free gift of love from our loving Heavenly Father to us, his children. Amen. Let's go down to verse 10. We'll wrap up here. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm not finished yet. Right? Paul, he was very plain about that, wasn't he? Philippians chapter 3. He said, I've not arrived yet. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. What are you this morning? Are you a Christian? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Are you a follower of Christ? Have you been saved by grace? And by the grace of God, you are what you are. Right? By the grace of God, I am what I am. Let me just say that there's a really great definition of grace. And it's from Vines. It's a beautiful definition. It says this: grace is on the part of the bestower the friendly disposition from which the kindly act proceeds, graciousness, loving kindness, and goodwill. And it stresses the freeness, the universality, and its spontaneous character. Isn't that wonderful? God's redemptive mercy and the pleasure or joy he designs for the recipient. Amen. God has designed pleasure and joy for us. In his grace, he's been planning for us in love. And the second part is on the part of the receiver, a sense of the favor bestowed. Amen. Isn't that wonderful that God has bestowed his favor upon us? By the grace of God, I am what I am. And then Paul goes on to say that I labor. So it's not a lazy grace. It's a grace that causes us and empowers us to labor for the kingdom. He says, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, and yet not I, but the grace of God within me. And that word labor there means the point of exhaustion. So Paul was saying, listen, the grace that saved me, the grace that keeps me, the grace that empowers me, now I cooperate with that grace, and I've given myself over to labor, to co-labor with Christ in preaching the gospel, in making him known, in making disciples. So it's not some kind of cheap grace that causes us to become lazy, but it's a grace that motivates us and empowers us to go out and win the lost, to go out and share the love of Jesus with those around us. Amen. I hope you've experienced grace. Maybe somebody here today has never experienced the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you, if we go back to verse 1, it says we have to receive this grace. Something has to happen in our heart, and we have to make it our own. We have to say, yes, I want this grace. I want God to be one of your children. I want to follow you. If you've never done that today, accept the free grace of Jesus Christ. And maybe some of us are like the Corinthians, that we've become kind of lazy. And we're not standing firm in the gospel of grace. We've drifted back maybe into works mentality, where we're trying to please God by the things we do. We're trying to do bootstrap religion, while we're picking ourselves up by the bootstraps. We're going to try a little harder, do a little better. God says, stand fast in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you this morning that every provision for you has been made in Jesus. Every provision has been made for you in Jesus. Stand fast in this grace that God has for us. I'm going to close from Isaiah 43. And this is kind of for daily. It's a scripture that the Lord laid in my heart this morning. But this is our God. The people were living in caves. If we had time, we could read Isaiah 42. The people of God were trapped in caves and holes in the ground. They were worried. They were being attacked and oppressed. And this is what God said. But now, thus says the Lord, your Creator, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. Jump down to verse 4. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored, and I love you, do not fear, for I am with you. Amen. Let's close in prayer, and then we'll do a final hymn. Lord, thank you for the gospel of grace. We thank you, Lord, that you saved us by grace, through faith. And this morning, Lord, we want to ask you, make us stand firm in this grace, Lord. We don't want to drift back into works or any kind of religion, Lord. We pray, make it real in our lives, Lord. We want to walk by faith. We want to live by grace. And we can say with Paul this morning, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Amen. And by the grace of God, I will be what I will be on that day. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that we're not who we used to be, that you have changed us and taken us out of darkness and put us into the kingdom of your beloved Son. And so, Father, we ask you, Lord, to keep us in this grace. May your grace be the theme of our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.